Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to welcome back an old friend, Connie Dunlop, Executive Director for Professional Advancement here at the Darden School of Business. We brought Connie back on the podcast. Of course, she's been on the podcast not once, but twice already. We brought her back to talk a little bit more about her dissertation. That's right, her dissertation, which is, surprise, surprise, all about career advancement. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Connie Dunlop. Connie, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
It is great to have you here. Our loyal listeners will know, those historians of the Exec MBA podcast who follow the podcast closely will be able to say, this is not your first, this is not your second, this is actually your third episode. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Well, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't heard Connie's previous two episodes, you should totally check them out. We'll be releasing them as part of a DVD box set later on, the Connie Dunlop trilogy. Stay tuned. But Connie, in all seriousness, how are you and your family doing?
We are doing really well. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Northern Virginia. I just did a power walk around the block to get my energy level up for our conversation. Things are good.
I'm glad to hear it. Have you picked up any hobbies, any pastimes during the pandemic?
I'm sleeping a lot more now that my dissertation is over with. So if you can call sleeping a hobby, yes, then I can affirm that I have picked up a new hobby during the pandemic.
That's right. You and our executive MBA students, parallel lives of a sort. You were working on your PhD, working full time, doing all that together, just as they are pursuing their MBA while working full time.
Exactly. I have a brand new appreciation for what the term working professional student means.
Means you have a very full plate. And we're going to get into that a little bit. We're going to go back in time. We talk about your PhD. We're going to talk about all these kinds of things. But first, before we get there, let's set the stage a little bit. For those of you who haven't had a chance, for those of our listeners who haven't had a chance to listen to your previous episodes, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what your current role is here at Darden.
I would love to. So I'm an executive director and lecturer for the University of Virginia Darden School of Business. I teach three courses at the school: professional advancement, experiential learning, and the leadership coaching elective. In addition to my teaching responsibilities, I also have coaching responsibilities. I'm a professional certified coach with the International Coaching Federation, and I coach students on topics related to career development and topics related to leadership development. In fact, I've coached more than 1,200 executive and residential MBAs in my 13-year career with the school. I tend to think I've heard it and seen it all, but every now and again, I have a student who surprises me with something new. So it never gets old.
I'm thinking about that Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hour rule. I'm guessing that you probably have more than 10,000 hours of coaching under your belt at this point.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the things that is true about the podcast is that, you know, we always ask students about, you know, favorite moment, favorite class, you know, is there something from their experience that stands out? You probably have a guess about this, but to a person, they seem to almost always mention the professional advancement course. We go a little bit off script here and ask you why you think they might talk about that course.
My guess is because that is the course where it's different in this way, the student is the case for that particular course. So in professional advancement, we're not talking about some fictitious business problem with a case protagonist and a set of challenges that are kind of amorphous. They're out there for the student. In the professional advancement course, the student is the center, and all of the attention is focused on how to help the student identify and achieve his or her professional advancement goals as a part of their Darden MBA experience. So who wouldn't want to be the case protagonist for an entire course?
Absolutely. And just to have that space to ask those kind of questions and to be around, you know, 130, 35 classmates all asking the same kind of questions. And that's one of the great things about being in this program, because people are exploring and they're networking and they're learning so much about themselves, about others. All of these things are happening all at the same time. So Connie, let's continue with your story here. What's your background? What did you do before coming to Darden?
So I'll take you all the way back to my first stop at Darden in 1996, when I joined the community as a Darden MBA student myself in the residential program. And when I graduated in 1998, I spent 7 years in consulting with financial services firms. First, I was a senior consultant, then manager for Deloitte Consulting in their strategy and operations practice. And I worked with some amazing people while I was working with Deloitte, both coworkers and clients, just an amazing set of individuals. Then I transitioned to one of my favorite consulting clients. I had a consulting project with Deloitte, and my client was Capital One. So I left Deloitte to go work for my client, Capital One, and I was leading large enterprise-wide change management initiatives for the company. My favorite project at Capital One was working with the CEO, Rich Fairbank, and his executive leadership team to craft position descriptions. And we had good times arm wrestling over roles and responsibilities at the most senior levels of the organization. Then after the birth of my twin girls, I was a stay-at-home mom for a very short amount of time, about all that I could bear. And then I returned to Darden in 2007. So, you know, my Darden journey kind of came full circle from 1998 when I graduated, coming back to the school, not as a student, but as an employee in 2007.
Just keep pulling you back in.
Right.
Absolutely. So you mentioned all the coaching that you're doing. You're leading these different courses. You talked about the professional advancement course, experiential learning, leadership coaching. You stay very busy. And I'm wondering, what led you to your current work? How did you decide, you know, I really am someone that's passionate about coaching?
Well, you know, I think back to the mission of the Darden School, particularly the part about unparalleled transformational learning experiences, because that's exactly what I experienced as a student going through the residential MBA program. It was truly transformational for me. So today, I view my role as a coach and as a teacher at the Darden School. My role is different now. I'm not absorbing the transformation. I'm actually creating the conditions so that our students, my students in my courses and in my coaching programs, can find their own transformation, whatever that's going to be for them. So my job is to create the conditions under which transformation can occur for my students. And I have kind of a five-pronged strategy that I use to do that, both in teaching and in my coaching work with students. And it's not rocket science, but I'll tell you what it is. I ask very powerful questions, and then I listen intently to the students' answers to those questions. This could be in a classroom setting or in a one-on-one coaching engagement. Then I help the student structure their thinking in ways that help them uncover meaning, so that they can take action, meaningful action, towards the goals that they want for themselves and for their careers. So when I'm doing my best work, I think I'm using these five things to illuminate potential paths so that others can find their way. I like to see myself as kind of someone that shines a spotlight on the potential paths post MBA so the students can reach their destinations.
Oh, to have someone listen intently to us and then help us think about structuring our ideas and next steps. What a tremendous, tremendous thing.
It's a gift, I think.
For sure. Now, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and we're going to get into this in much more detail. So you just completed your PhD, and you already, as you told your story, you noted that you have an MBA from the Darden School. How did you decide to go back to school and pursue a PhD?
My PhD journey started from a place of curiosity. I was particularly curious about how adults learn and how adults develop, because I wanted to know more about my students. I wanted to know how they learn and how they develop so that I could be an even better teacher and coach for them. This initial curiosity kind of led me to a doctoral program, and it also stayed with me through my coursework and into my dissertation research. In fact, my dissertation study is dedicated to my students, past, present, and future students. And when I started thinking about the doctoral program, I went out and I talked to several of the faculty members at Darden to ask them about their doctoral experiences. And one faculty member and friend, Lynn Isabella, who we both know, pointed me towards the George Washington University because they had an executive degree program for doctoral studies. So I could keep my day job and I could go to school at the same time. It's called the Executive Leadership Program. And there are four pillars to the coursework. We do indeed study leadership, but we also study change at the organizational level. We study organizational culture and we study adult learning. And adult learning kind of was that key piece for me because I was really curious about how my students learned and developed.
Well, we certainly know a little bit on this podcast about, you know, working while pursuing a degree, and incredible that you could pursue a PhD in an executive format. And I know that that made for a lot of long days, very busy evenings, really long nights as well. So you mentioned being interested and curious about adult learning, and there's a lot of different directions that kind of research can go. And I wonder what your research ultimately came to focus on. You mentioned your students being the inspiration for it.
Yeah, so the purpose of my study was to explore how students, MBA students, make their education relevant as they cross the boundary between school and work. And at a deeper level, I was asking questions about the content, process, and outcome of learning for working professional MBAs. And to answer these questions, I used a basic qualitative method, and I collected data through 18 semi-structured interviews with learners and their learning partners across 5 top business schools, including our own at Darden. I captured field notes, I collected documents and 28 documents, and I reviewed each one of those documents. And in the course of my data collection, I uncovered 39 critical incidents of learning that crossed the boundary. It was a lot of data for me to consume and to analyze. But when I analyzed all of it, it took about 2 years, by the way, and got to the other side, I developed 3 overarching themes, and those themes were translated into a typology of relevance making for MBA students. And there were patterns of content, process, and outcomes that kind of naturally fell out of the topology. And from there, I was able to get to findings, of which there are 4 major and 15 minor findings. So it was a ton of work. And at the end of the day, it took over 2 years to do the whole dissertation.
Just listening to you describe that process, I can speak for myself. I don't know how our listeners feel about this, but I don't think we really have a lot of visibility on exactly what goes into a PhD. We just assume that it's a lot of work to get to it. But, you know, you got to come up with the idea, and then I guess you start with some hypotheses along the way, right? And you're stress testing those hypotheses. I'm curious where you started to where you ended. Similar, different places?
Yeah. So one of the key assumptions, I had several assumptions that I was making in my study. And one of the key assumptions that I held was that it's all up to students. Students are the ones who have to make this degree relevant. The institution of higher learning is not going to do it for them. The employer that they work for is not going to do it for them. It's really going to be the burden is going to fall on the student themselves. And that's really what I found. It's up to the students to make their degrees relevant in meaningful ways. And I was able to shed a light on how they do that, what is the content that they're making relevant, and what are the outcomes that they see on the other side of that.
Wow. So you mentioned you had 4 major findings, maybe 15 or so minor findings. Any particular findings that you want to highlight? The last one that you just shared is always a great thing for our students who are coming into the program, getting started on the program, to keep in mind, right? That you really own this experience and it is what you make of it. But I wonder, what other takeaways would you want to highlight here?
Yeah, that is an important assumption, that they will need to own this experience. I would say that if I had to pick one of these findings that may be most relevant to our prospective and admitted students at this time in their Darden journeys, I would pick the fourth finding. And I'll state that for you now, and then we'll dissect it a little bit to try and make it meaningful. It's going to sound a little stiff and scholarly, but don't worry. I'll get to an example that makes it more practical. So here's the finding. Relevance making differed by type and depended upon students' intentions. I'll say that again. Relevance making differed by type and depended upon students' intentions. Now, I've talked about the fact that there were four types of relevance making in this typology. So those four types are innovative climbing, identity switching, introspective exploring, and fast founding. Now, our listeners have probably heard of some of these words before, because at the Darden School, we like to tell our students that there really are four ways to advance their careers on the other side of their Darden MBA. Those are climbing, switching, entrepreneurship, and exploring. So these four types are not new. They were just a great way to kind of organize the data that I was seeing. But let me just kind of break one of these types down for our listeners. That's the type of fast founding. And one of my study participants, I think, is a great example of fast founding. His name is Steve, and he was at a top business school and also starting an educational technology company while he was earning his executive MBA. Which, you know, as often the case is with starting a business, there are a ton of problems that you're, fires that you're fighting, problems that you're solving on a regular business day. And one of his persistent problems, one he just couldn't get rid of, was how to best communicate his product and his company's value propositions to his target customer base. It's like, how do we tell them how this product is going to make their lives easier? What is the value that this product will bring? Then Steve sat in a class and read a case called Timbuktu. This was in his operations course in his MBA program, where he was introduced to two business concepts, one of pooling, operational pooling, and another of mass customization. And using these two, kind of blending them together in an intentional way, he was able to bring these ideas back to his co-founder and say, I think I've got it. I have got a way by using these terms and this example of the business Timbuktu to explain to our potential customers how this educational technology is going to make their lives easier. So by using what he was learning in business school and applying it back in his workplace, he was able to add immediate value and inform the way that they were going to market with their product, which, I think it was really huge for him and for his business partner. So fast founding is one of the four types, and it's the way that entrepreneurs in my study made their business education relevant. They took concepts that they were learning in business school, and they immediately took them back to work. Like, they learned it on Saturday, they took it to work on Monday, and they applied it to solve real business problems that they were facing.
That is great to hear. It's certainly something we talk a lot about with executive MBA prospective students, this great connection between work and school and work, right? You're bringing things from work to school, and you're bringing things that you're learning at school to work. Glad to hear that that's borne out by the data.
That is. Yep. That is exactly what we saw for fast founders. Now, the story is a bit different for other types that we found in the data. Not the same story for innovative climbing or for introspective exploring, for example. But that's the way, that's what's interesting, I think, about this study, is that there's not one right way to make your MBA education relevant in the workplace. There are actually four ways that came up in this data, and it really depends on what the student's intentions are for getting an MBA in the first place. Are you starting a company like Steve or not?
When you were thinking about these types, were you reacting to sort of what the participants and the people who were giving you data were sharing about their background and their goals with the kind of maybe these categories that you mentioned that we talk about here at the Darden School in the background of those conversations? Or was it being driven by the participant, or was it more something that you know is just kind of the way these things tend to work?
These four types actually emerged from the data analysis and synthesis. They were not types that I brought into the conversations at all. I had 18 participants, and as I was synthesizing the data, I was trying to find ways to kind of take it up a level and take it up another level and take it up another level. And I found that when I grouped certain participants together, it kind of fell out in the analysis that the reason I was grouping this way, the reason they were bringing this content, having this process, was because they had these different intentions for why they were going to business school in the first place. So when I finally figured out that, you know, of my 18 participants, there was this group of people who were starting companies, and that's why their process looked the same. There was this group of people who were trying to get promoted, and that's why their process looked the same. You know, once I kind of got to the fact of this taking it up a level multiple times, these four types emerged from that synthesis.
That's so interesting. When you think about it, I mean, the thing that I'm really reacting to here is that you start with this really kind of this idea and maybe some assumptions and kind of get into it. And maybe some things go away and some things emerge and you get to the end of it and you have all these takeaways. But it's a 2-year process. I can't, you know, that is an incredible amount of time, Connie. Was there ever any moment where you're like, will I ever finish this PhD?
Oh, there were several of those moments. Yes, there were several of those moments. Like, will I get to the end of this? Because what we haven't talked about, Brad, is before the 2 years of data collection, data analysis, synthesis, you know, writing up the findings and the conclusions of the study, there was a year of me searching for a place, a site is what we call it, in order to conduct my study. And before that year of searching, there were 3 years of coursework in a kind of a structure like we have at Darden, where I went to school on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday once a month.
So a lot of work is what I'm hearing, Connie. So you talked about these takeaways, and I'm sure we could talk much, much more about all the things you learned over the course of the research that you were doing and as you were writing your dissertation. I'm wondering if there was something that really surprised you or jumped out to you.
I think one of the surprising things about my study was that I found a lot of students who were willing to talk to me, and faculty members across business schools who were willing to talk to me. Not many students wanted to get their employers involved in the conversation. So of those 18 participants, only 2 of the 18 participants came from the student's workplace. And I'm not sure why. I thought that every student I talked to would be willing to say, well, go talk to my boss, or go talk to my peer, or here's the phone number of my direct report. And that didn't happen as much. And I'm not sure that I can kind of put my finger on why that was happening. They were certainly, it wasn't that they weren't willing to share contacts, because they would put me in touch with their professors, no problem. But something about putting me in touch with their employing organization, that seemed a bit harder to get at. So I think one of the challenges with my study, and perhaps a weakness in my finding, or a limitation of my findings, is that I didn't talk to many employers. And as I continue to pursue this line of research and to continue to uncover, you know, questions around relevance making for MBA students, I would like to have more employers involved in my studies.
Well, that'd just be part two.
Part two,
for sure. Well, I have some hunches as to how this work has influenced your work here at the Darden School and your interactions with our executive MBA students. But I wonder, in your own words, how has this research and this whole PhD enterprise contributed to the work that you, or influenced the work that you do?
Well, it's already influencing my teaching and my coaching work at Darden. And I can tell you that in the professional advancement course, one of the three courses that I teach at the school, I've brought the professional advancement types, the four types, into the conversation. In the first module of that course, which is titled Map Making, students do exactly that. They draw a map, literally and figuratively, of where they are today and where they want to be. We call it the start and the destination, where they want to be as a result of their Darden MBA. And in that map making process, we identify both who they need to know, what we call a networking plan, and what they need to know, which we term a learning agenda, in order to get from where they are, their start, to their destination. And this particular work, this research has helped me teach the module, the topic in the module about the learning agenda. Because now what I know is it's not some kind of random set of things that these students want to learn to help them get to their destinations. There are actually patterns of content based on what type of professional advancement they're striving for. So the learning agenda for the entrepreneur is going to be different than the learning agenda for the climber. What I found in my study is that the climbers really want to learn a lot about leadership, about management, and those climbers also want to continue to increase their knowledge of the functional area that they're climbing within. So if I'm a finance manager, then I want to learn more about finance because that's the area that I'm committed to and trying to climb in my organization, in addition to increasing my knowledge around leadership and leadership models, leadership theories, leadership practices. So what I think is really interesting is that now that I know these things, I am able to bring them into the professional advancement course. And it's not like I stand in front of the class and I read my dissertation. That would put us all to sleep. What I actually do is help them think about these big themes that I've uncovered in my research and how that applies to their individual case of professional advancement.
That is awesome. I want to ask sort of follow-up question related to that. Know that some of the folks listening to this podcast may identify them as career switchers, right? We know that a growing percentage of our executive MBA students are at least open to changing function and or industry, you know, different degrees of switching, nevertheless, but this is maybe one of the goals of people listening to the podcast. And I'm curious what you learned about switchers and what they might be interested in and how that is influencing the curriculum design and PAC.
Yeah, so you're right. Switchers are our most popular type of professional advancement in the executive MBA program. And what those switchers are interested in depends upon what they're switching toward. So if I am coming into the program as an officer in the military, and I think that I may be interested in management consulting, then I'm going to pay special attention to topics that are going to further my switch towards management consulting. So I'm going to be interested in strategic concepts and theories. I'm going to be interested in making sure that I can do the decision analysis behind the recommendations that I'm going to make to my students, to my clients. So really the switch and the relevance making, it depends on what these students are switching to. And if they don't know what they're switching to, then we have a fourth type for them, which is the explorer, because these explorers are really simply trying to figure out what it is they want to do next. And the explorers in my study were considering entrepreneurship or switching, but none of the explorers in my study were planning to climb in their organization. I don't know if that's just because I had a small sample of only 18 participants, or if indeed that is a broader theme for exploration.
Again, part two.
Part two. It's another study waiting to happen.
Practically writing itself, Connie, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we call that my research agenda.
All right. Is that agenda growing as you taught PAC?
Yeah, I just got another thing to add to it based on this conversation. Thank you very much.
Well, just keep coming back on the podcast and we'll keep adding to your research agenda. I wonder what you're looking forward to in the coming months.
Gosh, so many things. With regard to my research, I will say that what I'm most looking forward to is getting the word out. So I just defended my dissertation in November. It was November 12th, and I turned 50 on November 13th. So I say it was my birthday present to myself to be done with this thing. So all of it is still very new. There were a lot of hoops that I needed to jump through with the university in order to get my dissertation finalized in the proper format and published through ProQuest. So if any of your listeners are just dying to read this thing, it all sits out on the ProQuest dissertation database and is available for download. So I've gone through that process now. My diploma just showed up in the mail literally a week ago. So it's all very fresh. But really what I want to do next and something I'm looking forward to is getting the word out to people. So I'm not expecting anyone to read my dissertation other than the five members of my dissertation committee. So I think what I'll need to do is write. I'll need to write practical articles. I will need to write scholarly articles for publication so that people that need this information, MBA students, MBA faculty, MBA staff, MBA accrediting bodies like the AACSB, will have access to it in a much easier to digest format than a 219-page dissertation document. So that's my plan. I plan to write. And one of the things I want to do for the participants on your podcast is I'd love to take those 10 profiles and use them to create a set of cases that we can study in the professional advancement course, helping students in a way that they can kind of see themselves in the case material, and it can inform how they think about their own professional journeys. So that's also on my to-do list as well. Lots to do. There's never a dull moment.
I was about to say, Connie, I was expecting, just a victory lap. I'm really just enjoying having more free time. No, not Connie. Connie is working. She's writing. She's translating her dissertation for a broader audience. Don't forget about Darden Ideas to Action. Out yes. there, Good you point. Know, I could yes. see a few career focused articles.
Yeah.
And we're always happy to have you back on the podcast. And long time fans, Connie.
Long time. Yep. Long time fans. And this is one of my favorite places to come and talk. So that's why I gave you first right of refusal on this is the first time that I have spoken outside of my doctoral defense about my dissertation. So props to you, Brett Twitty.
Connie, I had no idea that this is an exclusive. This does not happen every day here on the Exec MBA podcast. To be a part of history, our listeners may know that I celebrate a form of what I call micro history or the people's history, small events in our otherwise, pedestrian lives, nevertheless being very large events in the span of time. And so this is definitely not a small event, though. The fact that this is the first place you came to talk about your dissertation with a broader audience, I feel very flattered. Connie. So thank you so much for doing this. We always ask our visitors, our guests here on the podcast, the same last question. I wonder if you have a piece of advice you would like to share with our listeners.
I do. And that is, if you're a prospective or admitted student who is listening to Brett's podcast and to this podcast in particular, you don't have to wait until quarter one to start thinking about your professional advancement. So I have a few questions for you, in that good kind of powerful question way that I would like to leave with our listeners so that they can begin thinking about their answers to these questions. The first question I have for our listeners is, who am I? It's a big one, existential. The second question, who am I becoming with a Darden MBA? And my third and final question is, what type of professional advancement is most appealing to me? And I'll give you some examples. Am I climbing in my current organization or switching to a different organization or starting or growing a venture? Or perhaps I don't know. Maybe I'm exploring one, two, or three of those potential types. So I encourage our listeners to reflect on those three questions because you don't have to get started in professional advancement in quarter one. That work can begin right now.
Well, Connie, I just want to reflect on the arc of this podcast for our listeners. You know, follow your sage advice with just some reflection here on all that has happened over this past roughly 30 minutes. You became one of the few guests in the history of the Exec MBA podcast to appear not once, not twice, but three times. As noted, the Dunlop trilogy.
Love it.
You brought your dissertation findings to our audience, the first audience outside of academia to actually hear these findings. And then you gave our listeners homework. What an incredible episode this has been. The full arc of this. We have never done something like this on the podcast.
Well, there's always room for a first when the two of us get to work together, Brett. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, Connie, always a pleasure. Thank you for all that you do for our students. It's great having this time with you, and we'll have to catch up with you again in a few months to hear what else you're up to.
Thank you.
And that was my interview with Connie Dunlop, Executive Director for Professional Advancement here at the Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.